Today on The King is Coming.
Don't you want people to look at your life and the things that you do and the way you live and your family and the way you conduct yourself at work and look at that and just go, well, who is this guy? I want to get some of what you've got. I want what you have because your God must be the true God. What does it mean to be a Daniel, to stand up for your faith and to live courageously in dark times? You're going to find out next on The King is Coming.
In a world filled with uncertainty and fear, what kind of faith empowers us to stand strong? What kind of courage leads us to face the impossible with confidence? Imagine the faith of a leader guiding hundreds of thousands into an unknown land, or the unyielding trust that walks into a fiery furnace without fear. Picture the boldness of a man building an ark amidst ridicule and scorn, trusting wholly in God's promise. Join Jeff Kinley as he journeys through the lives of these extraordinary Old Testament heroes in our series, Courageous Faith, Living Boldly and Confidently in Fearful Times. Discover how their unwavering faith can inspire and transform our lives even today. To get your copy of this inspiring 8-part DVD set, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now.
Here on The King is Coming, we're starting a brand new series called Wake the Bride, based on my book by the same title. It's how to start your own personal revival in your heart from the book of Revelation. And we're offering this special series on DVD, and I want you to take part in it. You can find more information at thekingiscoming.com.
To get your copy of this 5-part DVD series, Wake the Bride, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me today on The King is Coming. We're in this incredible series on courageous faith, and I hope it's been an encouragement to you because these studies that we've done together are examining characters of the Old Testament. These were people that walked around in sandals and robes, and they lived in very perilous times. In fact, the times that they live in are much like the days that we live in today. When we study the New Testament, we learned that Christianity is diametrically opposed to the ways, the values, the belief systems, the philosophies of this world. And that's why Scripture tells us to renew our mind with the Word of God. That's why Jesus told his disciples, in the world, you're going to have trouble. That's why John wrote in 1 John 2, 15 through 17, to not love the world or the things in the world because the love of the Father is not in you if you adopt the values of the world. It just proves that we're married to this world. And so we don't want to have our minds set on the things of the earth, but our minds set on things in heaven. And 1 Peter 4 tells us that once we become believers, that our non-Christian friends are going to kind of be surprised that we don't run around with them anymore and do the things they used to do. But just to remember that we have two different destinies now. Follow the destiny that you've chosen. So that's where Daniel is. Daniel, again, we saw in our last episode, he's with these guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they've all been taken captive to Babylon. Around 605 BC. And we know from the scripture that once they got there, that they distinguished themselves in regards to their diet and in regards to who they would worship. In fact, all the way back in the very first part of Daniel in chapter 1, I love this because it says that that they were asked to consume the Babylonian diet, if you will. And it says in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So in other words, the king wasn't just throwing him scraps, you know, things left over. He said, you could eat what the king eats. And Daniel said, that's still not good enough because I am dedicated to my God. And I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. And so this is the thing that we learned from Daniel, first of all. Daniel made up his mind ahead of time. In other words, he pre-decided that he would follow the Lord and not the ways of Babylon. So Daniel established himself as being as being different, as being unique, as being a man of faith, and he didn't want to be average. And so Daniel's die was cast, his course was set, his vision was focused here. He was a quality person. And so Daniel began to serve in the kingdom, and he began to elevate himself in the kingdom. Look what it says in chapter 6 and beginning in verse 3. It says, then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So here Daniel is working his way up the ladder, if you will, simply by being himself. And you know, this is a real encouragement to you and I as believers out there in the world. If you work in a secular marketplace, this ought to be an encouragement to you in two ways. Number one is in your character, obviously. Your character is different from maybe other people's characters in the office, in the company. Maybe some people cut corners. They maybe just fib a little bit on their forms or whatever. But you're not like that because your character is formed by God himself. And then the second way is by your conduct. We know that when you serve Christ, you ought to serve Christ, it says in Colossians, as unto God himself. In other words, when you work in your job, you work your job as if you're working your job for God. That's the bottom line. And so when you do that, you're striving to become the best that you can be. So there's no room for mediocrity or for just getting by or just giving a half-hearted, laissez-faire effort. You want to be the best that you can be in what you do. So be the best employee. If you work at a fast food place, make the best hamburger. If you're an attorney, prepare the best brief. If you're a truck driver, get the job done. You know, whatever it is that God calls you to do, be your best for him. And that is what Daniel did. And a result of that, he's being promoted. Well, obviously, some people didn't like that promotion idea for Daniel. And so they said, well, hey, we're going to get Daniel. So beginning in chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. In other words, they wanted to sabotage Daniel to get Daniel kicked out or fired or worse, executed. Why? Because they were jealous. So sometimes it's your peers that sometimes will lay some of these accusations against you. It says, but they could not find any ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. Evidence of corruption. So Daniel's conduct, Daniel's character was free of corruption. And they were so mad that they couldn't find something that Daniel had done wrong. Eventually, they're going to have to trump up a charge against him. But it says, inasmuch as Daniel was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. So then these men said in verse 5, we shall not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. So now it's like, okay, we can't get him on anything that he's doing here at work. But let's find out a way that his work contradicts what he's, his faith contradicts what his work is all about. So let's see if we can create a conflict between his work and between his worship. So it says, then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. And all the commissioners of the kingdom and all the prefects and all the officials said the same thing. And he says, we want you to establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god besides you, O king. You see what they're doing here? They're trying to butter up the king here. But makes a petition to any other god except for you for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. So they created this bogus edict, this bogus statute that just basically said, if anybody doesn't serve you, O king, just kill them. And gosh, if you're playing to the ego, to the king, this sounds like a pretty good thing. Now, keep in mind, they could find no dirt on Daniel. And because they could find no dirt on Daniel, they proceeded to go and attack his very faith. And so they made it essentially in verse 8. Now, king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be exchanged according not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is the injunction, and made praying to Yahweh illegal. Now, what's Daniel going to do in response to that? You'll know next on The King is Coming. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King is Coming. God bless you. So now it's illegal to pray. Daniel has been forbidden to pray to his God based on Daniel chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. And then Daniel finds out about it. And listen, this is all happening because they know that Daniel is a prayer. They know Daniel prays, right? But look what it says in verse 10, Daniel's persistence here. It says, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. So Daniel just simply said, you know what? I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm not going to start something to try to provoke the injunction that the king has done. I'm just simply going to do what I've been doing all along. You know, this brings up an interesting question, a very good question, based upon our role to our government and what is our responsibility as Christians to our government. You know, Romans chapter 13 tells us very clearly that we are to submit to the authorities above us. We are to pray for kings, for all those in authority above us. And, you know, honestly, that's hard to do sometimes. And sometimes you find yourself praying kind of against them rather than for them. But we do need to pray. We need to pray that God would miraculously save people in government and that they would have an influence in government. But to pray for kings and those in authority. So you say, well, Jeff, is there ever a time when it's legitimate, when it's authorized by God to disobey government? And the answer is yes. And here are those times. If a government, an earthly government, king, president, prime minister, governor, mayor, anybody, asks you or commands you to do something that is against what the Word of God or your Christian conscience tells you to do, then you are obligated to disobey that mandate or that command. If they ever tell you not to do something that you believe you're supposed to do as a believer, then you're obligated to stand up as Shadrach did, as Meshach did, as Abednego did, as Daniel is doing, to say no to that. You know, when the COVID thing was going on and churches were shutting down all over the country, there were a few churches out there that I know of that just said, you know what? I understand what you're saying, but our command to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together supersedes, it trumps your command that tells us to stay home on Sunday. And so these churches, they kept on meeting. And so their respective governors and governments, some of them brought lawsuits against the church. The bottom line, when it was all said and done and the dust had settled, guess what? The churches won those injunctions, those settlements. But it highlights the fact that sometimes it may cost you to do what God has asked you to do. So don't be afraid to do that. Well, that's where Daniel was. And so Daniel is being told here that you can't pray. And so Daniel's faith here now becomes officially countercultural. It says in verse 12, then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. He said, did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or prays to any god besides you, O king, for 30 days will be cast into the lion's den? The king said, yes, of course I did. And they answered and said, well, Daniel, he's that guy. He's still praying. He's still doing it. He's not obeying you. He's not only not praying to you, but he's praying to his God. He's not only not praying to you and praying to his God. He's doing it three times a day and doing it openly with his windows open so people can see him doing it. So what are you going to do about that, King? Now, think about these verses over in the book of Psalms. The psalmist wrote, this is David who wrote this, says, "For as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me, evening and morning, and at noon. I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For there are many who strive against me." This is exactly where Daniel finds himself right now. He's praying. He's continuing to pray. And they go to the king. How does the king respond? He says, well, as soon as the king heard the statement, verse 14, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exhorting him to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said, "Recognize, O king, that this is the law of the Medes and the Persians, and that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king now has his hands tied. He can't even change his own injunction here. It says, "Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke to Daniel, said, 'Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you.'" At least I hope he will, because you're important to my government. He says, "And a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing may be changed in regard to Daniel." So Daniel here now finds himself in the lion's den because he's been praying, because he's just been obedient day by day, doing the same thing he always does. His lifestyle didn't change. He just kept on doing what he was doing. Guess who changed? The government changed. Society changed. The people around him changed. Daniel kept on doing what he was doing. So Daniel had this rhythm of life. And listen, again, at this time, Daniel could have said, all right, I'll only pray once a day, or I won't pray at all, or I'll just pray silently. I'll close my windows and you won't even know that I'm praying. No, Daniel knew that his character needed to remain the same. And I find that sometimes these hard times, these challenging times that we face, reveal the true nature of our faith and of our character. And Daniel's situation was certainly no different. Listen, you may look at Daniel and say, well, you know, that's fine. Throw me in the lion's den. That'll be fine. You know, it's a different story when it's you. It's a different story when all of a sudden they're coming and saying, we're going to fine you a hefty penalty because of your faith or because you're not doing something that we told you to do. It's a whole different story when your job is on the line. Now you can't pay your mortgage or feed your family or travel or do anything. It's a whole different story when all of a sudden you might get cut from the team if you don't stop speaking up about morality and about what you perceive as what's going wrong there on the team. Listen, these difficult circumstances will reveal our true character. We need to make sure that we stand up to these things. And so the key to Daniel's strength then was found in the fact that he had been doing this all along. And as we saw back in chapter one, we saw Daniel was a man who had already made up his mind. So I'm sure in the back of Daniel's mind, he thought, you know, one day they may outlaw prayer. I think I'm going to keep praying. One day they may outlaw Bible reading. I'm going to keep on reading my Bible. One day they may say that you can't meet in your church because we perceive there's a threat to the climate or to some pandemic that's coming. You're going to have to decide now that you're not going to capitulate when that time comes. It's that kind of faith, character, and conviction that makes someone a Daniel. Well, what happened in that lion's den? We'll find out next when we return. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King Is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King Is Coming. God bless you. So we see that Daniel's decision as a young teenager was a decision that served him and led to 70 years of service to Christ. Daniel is now an older man. He's probably in his mid-80s at this point. And yet his faith is still strong. His conviction is still certain. And that just tells us this, that the Christian life is not a sprint. Someone said it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. I'd say it's much further than a marathon. It's a lifelong race. And it's something that when you look at it over the long haul, it looks like, gosh, I can never make that. But it can be made in daily chunks. In other words, it's like you, someone said, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time, right? Well, how do you run the Christian life? One day at a time, really 1 hour at a time. So God wants us to have that kind of consistency. So can I ask you some questions before we finish out this study of Daniel here? Are you cultivating faithfulness in your daily spiritual life? Are you praying daily to God? You don't have to pray 3 times a day or 10 times a day, but are you praying at all? Do you eat regularly from a spiritual standpoint? We can't go a day without eating, typically, right? But what about spiritually feeding yourself? Are you feeding yourself the Word of God? Can you get out of bed every day? Do you get up and go to work, go to school? Do you do that every day? Of course you do. You know why? Because that's in your rhythm of life. Make the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading, put those things into rhythm of your life so that you can develop those kind of spiritual faith muscles that will enable you to do what Daniel did when the big challenge came his way. Well, what happened to Daniel here? We find out over in chapter six here, it says in verse 18, then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting. No entertainment was brought before him and his sleep fled from him. He had insomnia because he was worrying about Daniel. And then the king arose at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he had come near the lion's den, he cried out with a troubled voice. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you constantly serve been able to deliver you from the lion's den? You know what the king is saying in that moment? Daniel, is your God real? Is your God really alive? Does he work? Does it work? Is the Christian life, is belief in this God we claim to know, is it worth it? That's what he really wants to know. Not just is Daniel alive, but is your God worthy? Look what happens next. Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, probably the angel of the Lord that we saw in the last episode, to shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, that's God, and toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. You know, it went from Daniel being in the lion's den to the lions being in Daniel's den. And those lions' mouths were shut up. You know why? Because Daniel had divine protection in that moment. And, you know, somebody could say this. They could say, well, maybe there were toothless lions. Maybe there were lions that had already eaten. They weren't hungry. Well, that wouldn't have happened because the king, because of the edict and the injunction, was being told to feed them to ravenous lions. Lions with no teeth typically don't gum you to death, right? So this skeptic's objection is a little bit lame here. No, these were real lions with real teeth. And by the way, just so you'll know, that a lion's bite can be up to 700 pounds a square inch. So had those lions bitten into Daniel, that had torn him limb from limb. No, there was a miracle there in Daniel's life there. And then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And then it says, he gave orders to take all the men who brought accusations against Daniel. It says for them, their children, their wives to be cast into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed their bodies. That's how ravenous, how hungry these lions were. That they devoured these people before they even hit the ground. So that's what happened to Daniel's enemies. Then King Darius said this. He wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were in the land, may peace abound. I make a decree that in all of my kingdom, dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. Now listen to what he says. He says, for he is the living God and is enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who also has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persians. Wow. God justified Daniel. God vindicated Daniel's decision that he made because he had pre-decided, I'm not going to worship any other God. And the fallout from that was that Daniel's enemies were cast away and destroyed, and Daniel himself was spared, and Daniel's God was praised throughout the whole land. Now, my friends, that's the ultimate goal, right? As Jesus said in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want people to look at your life and the things that you do and the way you live and your family and the way you conduct yourself at work and look at that and just go, well, who is this guy? I want to get some of what you've got. I want what you have, because your God must be the true God. That's what we need to pray, my friends. Pray that our character, our winsomeness, our kindness, our love, our compassion, our conviction, our stand for truth, our belief, our strength of life and character would be such that people would look at us and say, I want what you have. And that's, in fact, that's how I was led to Christ by a fellow 16-year-old in high school who had joy, who had peace, who had confidence, who had a sense of security, had something I never dreamed of having. And I desired what he had. And because of what the way he lived his life, I was brought to Jesus Christ. So our lives are going to make people curious, my friends. They're going to make them want to know what you have. Why are you the way that you are? Even if it's a little bit strange, we need to make sure that our lives are living in such a way that give glory to God, that our marriages are unique, that our families are distinctive, that the way we conduct ourselves, our homes, our workplace, that everything is extraordinary, not trying to work that up on our own, but simply obeying God, doing the dailies. And if we do that, that daily long-term commitment of faithfulness, that courageous faith will be evident to all. So I just want you to know that as you look in your life, you too can dare to be a Daniel. Challenge yourself, stand up, press forward, keep praying, and keep loving your God. I'll see you next time.
The Bible says in the last days, a lone figure will rise. He will be the counterfeit Messiah, the man of sin, Satan with skin on. He is Antichrist. In the King is Coming 7-part video series, Antichrist, The Coming Prince of Darkness, Jeff Kinley digs into the prophetic scriptures on the coming of the Antichrist. Who will he be? When is he coming? How will we know who he is? This series will bring imagination to life as you study the character, the deception, and the mystery surrounding the coming Antichrist. To get your copy today of Antichrist, The Coming Prince of Darkness, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you.
My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.